In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am so glad to be with you here today. It is a real pleasure, and especially since it's the Feast of Pentecost. That, I think, is my favorite Sunday of the church year. It has such energy. I get so much energy. Weren't those great readings appointed for today very inspiring? And those wonderful hymns beseeching the Holy Spirit to dwell in us so that we can share the good news of God in Christ. This past week, I had fun scanning the Gospel of Luke. It all got started by reading that lesson from Acts of the Apostles, the first day of Pentecost. Well, Luke wrote that too. He wrote Acts as well as Luke. But in Luke, it all kind of leads up to that. And I was amazed as I scanned it how many instances there are of Jesus impacting lives that are changed. Now, these instances change, and they each one is kind of unique. But the point is, God in Christ comes to us, to all of us, touching our lives, sending us in directions we may not have ever thought possible, healing us, bringing us new life. All of these are signs of Pentecost. I started right at the beginning of Luke's gospel, and one of the things that popped out at me was the call of Mary by the angel announcing that she was to give birth to Jesus. She accepted that in great humility. And then there's a song. It's called the Song of Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. Being touched by God. The response is, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Well, those are the kinds of instances that go through the book of the Gospel of Luke. And then we jump over into the Acts of the Apostles, which is the continuation of the story, and we get the day of Pentecost. Now, that is an unforgettable scene, is it not? I mean, a lot is going on there. Tongues as of fire descend on that vast assortment of people, filling them with the Holy Spirit. And they give testimony to that in a variety of languages, which is to say that as God comes to us and touches us, we are able to spread that good news. Language, race, nothing is a barrier to it, because God wants all in God's household. Evangelism, that's what that is, proclaiming the power of God in our lives. And certainly those hymns today certainly speak of that. What about current stories of the activity of God's Spirit among God's people? What are those stories like? God touching lives and bringing wholeness and direction and new meaning. Have you told another something of how the power of God has stirred you as you look back at it, and what that did, what difference it may have made? You know, we Episcopalians are kind of shy away from that, don't we? We let other Christians take care of that. We'll do Christmas and Easter, but you have Pentecost. We shy away from that, even though we sing those great hymns and even though we wear red on Pentecost. I have my red socks on. I want you to see them, okay? I'm a good Episcopalian. There is an easy way. There's an easy way to tell the story. And I'm going to help you focus in on that, all right? What you need to do is to prepare your elevator speech. Now, imagine this. You are in an elevator on the fourth story. There's only one other person in the elevator with you, and both of you are going to the ground floor. What could you say to that person in that space of time about how God has touched you in a way that sends you in a certain direction, makes you respond in a certain way, and gives you a sense of meaning and hope? That's all you need to do. And it can't be very long, because it doesn't take very long to go from the fourth floor to the first. But that's what an elevator speech is. I did this in, of all places, an evangelism conference of the Episcopal Church. It was sponsored by the presiding bishop's office, and the bishop was present and very much a part of it. He wanted that to be the kickoff of the Jesus movement in the Episcopal Church. There were 400 of us gathered in that one church in Dallas, Texas. It was the host church. The fire marshal said you cannot have more than 400 people. So the registration was limited. Would people come to it? You bet. In fact, they had people on the waiting list. Lay people, deacons, priests, and bishops. All there talking about, sharing with, the instances of God touching our lives. At one point, when we were all together in the main worship area, which seats 400 people, we were given a task. We were given a piece of poster board, sort of like this, but it was bigger. And the task was to write our elevator speech. On one side of the paper, we were to put what life was like prior to God, the Spirit, touching our life. And then on the other side, to put what difference it made. Okay, do you think people had a hard time doing that? No. I'm telling you, you've never heard such a lively group in all your life. And especially when we were asked to share that with the person next to us and let that person share with us. Do you think people had a hard time doing that? No way. In fact, they had a hard time getting people to stop talking. At the end of it, they asked if a few people would be willing to share with the whole group what they had put on their poster. They thought maybe one or two would stand up to do that. 50 got up right away. It was a very lively group, and of course you couldn't have that many, but a couple of them gave testimony to what they had put on their poster. Well, I'm going to tell you what I put on mine, okay? On one side, it was before being touched. I put three words: lost, wandering, and unconcerned. That was moi, okay? On the other side, after the Spirit had touched me. Homecoming, new direction. That's the elevator speech, okay? And if that whets anybody's appetite, you can fill it in a little bit, and I will do that for you. The backstory of this is that I recalled a period in my life in my teens when I was in college. I had been raised in an evangelical, conservative, fundamentalist faith. I had always been a Christian. I had always been active in the church. But in my teens, I began to question a lot of things, and I began to doubt a whole lot of things. And this would have been intolerable in that faith tradition. For to have questions and doubts would be intolerable and an insult to God. And so I wandered from it. And I was kind of happy about that. I didn't really care. I even looked back on it and made fun of it. I was in college. One of the things I did in college, it wasn't a part of my degree, but I took pipe organ lessons because I loved the music of the organ. And that was just a wonderful experience for me. And in the music department, there was a professor who was leaving to get another degree. And she played for a small Episcopal church nearby. And she said to me, "Would you be interested in taking that position?" And I said, "I certainly would." And I applied for the job and I got it. But I have to be really honest, I did not do it for religious reasons. I was a poor college student. I needed the money. I was about 18 years old now. In the choir, which I inherited in that job, included 5 college professors. I knew nothing about liturgical churches, prayer books, and things like that, and heaven forbid, the Episcopal hymnal. It was like a bolt of lightning being exposed to that. You know, I look back in disbelief at my audaciousness at that moment. Two things happened to me. One, that congregation took me under its wing, literally. They adopted me. They loved me. They loved me into the church. I have a hard time fathoming how God worked through them to touch what I see as my impenetrable heart. But they did. Secondly, the priest. This priest had a serious alcohol problem. I mean, serious. But he invited me to talk with him about any of my doubts, questions, reservations about religious faith, the Episcopal Church, whatever. He was available. The door was open. And I took advantage of that. And God worked through him too. In spite of all the issues going on in his life, God worked through him to reach me. And this priest said to me, he said, "Steve, God is much bigger than you are. God can handle any questions, any problems, any doubts that you set before him. So ask the questions, raise the doubts, wrestle with God as Jacob did." That's what he said to me. And then he said this, and this really lit me up. He said, we Episcopalians encourage that. And you know what? I did exactly what he said. And I still do. I found there a spiritual home that I wasn't even looking for. I found a spiritual home, and eventually through that, a vocation. On this Feast of Pentecost, I want to encourage you to get your elevator speech ready. It's not that hard to do. All you have to do is just kind of look back at your life, and you will see some points where God has touched you. What was it like just before? And what was it like after the touch of God came, perhaps through another person, an incident, or wherever, the revelation that God had been there knocking on your door? Tell that story. Share it with your church friends. There is nothing more enlightening and exciting than to share those kinds of stories. It will boost the faith of others, and it will give you the courage to go out into the world and proclaim the goodness of God and God's desire to dwell in the heart of every person, everyone. Let's be evangelists. Let's tell about the love and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.